Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said there'll never be a reduction in the wages of sin. We appreciate the opportunity of coming your way again with Bible Meditations. If you've been listening this week, we want you to know we're happy you have been, and we'd like for you to tell others about our program. All right, let's return to our study, and we were looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, an account concerning the great woman of Shunem. It is stated there was a great woman. Well, we can see her greatness very clearly, because when she lost her son by death, she still trusted in God, and when she was asked, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" her answer was, "It is well." I'm not sure that I know all of the reasons that she might answer in that way. But when we make application of what occurred there, we find that you and I, standing today in the midst of the troubles and problems that come to us during life, would be able to answer, "It is well," for some of these reasons. First of all, because God cares for us. We are not here without the care and the concern of our Maker. The one who made us is concerned about our welfare, and so was promised that his ears would be open unto our prayers. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Also, we believe that we can say things are well with us because of the strength that we gather from our worship unto God. Worship goes to God, but worship also is a means of teaching other people who are round about us. We draw together with those who are Christians and offer our collective worship to our Father in heaven, even as we teach each other. Look at the Ephesian letter, chapter 5 and verse 19, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. The Colossian letter, chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." And so the passage clearly indicates that a part of our worship goes to each other. We teach each other. And a part of it goes to our Father in heaven. It's offered to God. What a great thing it is to be able to assemble with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to offer our prayers and our petitions, to offer our worship to our Father in heaven. There are some people who have never yet understood the benefits and the joys that come from such worship. Thus, they willingly absent themselves from the public assemblies. They don't come together when others have come together to offer their worship to God. They choose, rather, to refrain from worship, and they decide they don't need to go to a public assembly. Isn't it a shame that the only time some people go inside a church building is at the time of their death? And you know, even today, we've gotten almost away from going to the church building for funeral services. Most of those services are conducted at the funeral home. But there are people who the only way they would ever be inside a church building is for someone to carry them in a casket into the church building. Well, very obviously, that's not the way God intended for it to be. God wanted us to worship Him, and our worship should be constant. It ought to be something we desire to do, and there's strength that comes from our coming together and offering that worship unto God. How strange it is that we would think we don't need to worship our Maker, and that we are sufficient without the help and the strength that comes from Him. So, one reason that we can say it is well is because God cares for us. Number two reason, because there's strength that comes to us from our worship. The final thing that we mentioned to you this week in regard to our reason for saying it is well with my soul is the fact that Christians care about each other. The Bible uses the illustration of a family, and that family is the family of God. You and I become a part of God's family, but we also, when we're in God's family, become brothers and sisters to everyone else who is in that family. The Bible tells us that God is our Father. So Jesus, in the prayer that he taught his disciples, told them to pray after this manner, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We have a Father in heaven, a one to whom we owe responsibility. Our Father is one to whom we pray, and so we are his children. I become a child of God, according to Paul in the Galatian letter, chapter 3, 26 and 27. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now that's how I get into Christ. That's how I become a child of God. I'm baptized into Christ. I'm baptized into God's family. And I become a Christian when that occurs. When I say I become a Christian, I simply mean that I become a part of God's family. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, there are a number of passages that indicate that we have that relationship with our brothers and our sisters. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter says, "Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Hebrews 13 verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." Well, it helps to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are interested in us and will do what they can to assist us and to encourage us in living faithful lives before our Father in heaven. I think we can see a number of reasons that Christians ought to be able to say, "It is well with my soul." We have problems, but God cares. We have problems, but there's strength that comes through worship. We have problems, but fellow Christians care as well. We appreciate being with you this week. Please listen again on Monday. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.